You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Hello, Bleeding Green Nation, and welcome back to another edition of BGN Radio. This is episode number 26, powered by SB Nation and BleedingGreenNation.com. I'm John Stolness. You can follow me on Twitter at John Stolness. We've got your Eagles-Dallas preview part two. Eagles-Dallas week, always a big deal, but as we're going to get into here in just a couple of minutes, this Eagles-Dallas week feels just like it's missing a little something. And here to join me to preview the Eagles-Cowboys game, this huge game on Sunday afternoon, is the man, the myth, the legend, the brains behind the operation at Bleeding Green Nation, may he forever reign, Brandon Lee Gauton. BLG, how you doing, buddy?
John, for as frustrating and, you know, the twists and turns of this Eagles 2018 season has been, for all of the craziness, the Eagles can be first in the NFC East if they beat the Cowboys on Sunday. It's, you know, we've known that for obviously for a little bit here, but it feels weird to say, and it feels weird that it could be true, because it just, you know, you think about the lows, you know, they blow the Titans game, they blow the Panthers game, and you just feel like this isn't the year. But they can at least maybe win the division. And it's right in front of them. So huge, huge game this week. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the biggest game of the season. You could say that the season rests on this game. We'll get into that coming up here in just a minute. We'll go over the injury report, look at some of the key matchups, and we got some bulletin board material to talk about here in just a few minutes as well. But of course, don't forget to follow Brandon on Twitter at Brandon Gauton. So BLG, you know, obviously the Eagles are looking for a little payback here on Sunday afternoon after they lost 27-20 at the Link about a month ago. Remember, they fell behind early, just had all kinds of trouble getting started in the first half. And then in the second half, the offense really seemed to find its rhythm in that game and kept tying the game up with the Cowboys time after time after time, and the defense just couldn't hold off Dak and Zeke in that game. The Eagles had the same number of first downs in the game as Dallas. They each had 23, and the Eagles actually outgained Dallas, not by much, but 421-410. And it was a weird game in that the Eagles lost despite not having a single penalty called against them. I forgot all about that, actually. Dak had himself a good game, 26-36 for 270. He had, I have five touchdowns here. I obviously didn't mean to write that. But he had... I think he had one touchdown in that game and a 102.8 rating. Ezekiel Elliott was the big star, though. 19 carries for 151s and a touchdown. He also had 36 yards receiving and a score. Amari Cooper had six catches for 75 yards. And Carson Wentz on the other side of the ball had an okay game, especially picked it up in the second half. 32 for 44 for 360, two touchdowns and interception. Zach Ertz, 14 catches for 145 yards and two touchdowns in that game. Obviously, even after a month, BLG, these teams are a little different. The Cowboys have caught fire since that Eagles game. They really used it as a springboard here, as now they're riding, what are they up to, a three-game winning streak, having beaten the Eagles, the Redskins, and the Saints. And the Eagles' offense now seems to be clicking, too. So I think these two teams are meeting at a point when both are playing probably their best football of the season.
Yeah, it's a really good point, John. And the Falcons in there, too. So it's four in a row.
Falcons, that's what it was. Yep.
So they're hot. They're a hot team. Obviously, we were podcasting very much, unfortunately, during their win over the Saints on Thursday Night Football last week, which is certainly a legitimate win in the sense of their defense is very good. Nothing fluky, really, about that. Just a really good defensive performance there. The offense still not amazing. I mean, they only scored 13 points. Like, you're not probably not winning in the playoffs if you're doing that all the time.
Right.
But, you know, looking at this Cowboys team and looking back at that game from earlier in the season, I mean, the Cowboys are a pretty predictable team. Like, they're not gonna confuse you. They have their formula, they have their identity, and that is get a lead and run the ball and make life easy on Dak Prescott. You know, don't make it so that he has to carry the team and he's being put in this difficult situation. You know, you build that lead and then you can run the ball and have Zeke and you know, make it very easy for Dak. And obviously the defense can kind of do their thing at that point, play with the lead, and they're good at doing that. So you look back at what the Eagles need to do in this game, and they need to get off to a better start. And obviously you want to do that every week, but for a team that is quite clearly the worst team in the NFL at getting off to fast starts, and that's the Eagles, with now 28 points in the first quarter this year since they scored one against Washington. And that was great to see. If you're looking for a positive sign from that game on Monday night and looking maybe, okay, can the Eagles build forward on that? Maybe it is that, you know, they were able to get off to this fast start against Washington, who, you know, Washington has a respectable defense. I'm not going to tell you, you know, their defense is as good as Dallas, but it's respectable at the very least. So it was good to see them get off to that start like they did. And you need to see that here, because if you play with the lead against the Cowboys, that's a completely different game. Like, that's not how the Cowboys are built to play. If you get them into a situation where suddenly they can't really run the ball as much because they need to pass in order to get back into the game, like, Dak Prescott probably isn't going to be able to do that for the most part. So that's the formula for them. They have to get off to that fast start. I know it's easier said than done, clearly, for a team, again, that scored 28 points in 12 games this year in the first quarter. You almost believe it when you see it, when you're hoping that this offense can get off to that start, or the defense goes out there and hopefully gets a stop and gives the offense a chance to do something early in the game. But that's what it's going to take. They need to get the lead in this game. Obviously, again, you want to do that every week, yes. But I'm saying especially this week is really important.
Yeah, you know, when they got that 7-0 lead last week, it felt like they just gained a ton of confidence, because it has been so infrequently that they've scored opening drive touchdowns or opening drive points of any kind to start the game off with a lead and just ride that for the entire game against Washington was really a departure from what we've seen from them this year. And you're right, that would go a long way. They've trailed so many times at halftime or at the end of the first quarter this year that, it like the season, each game has felt like an uphill battle. Every single game, it just feels like they're scratching and clawing. That's what the last Dallas game felt like. The entire second half, they were just trying to catch up. And every time they would pull even, Dallas would pull ahead again. And they'd pull even again, and Dallas would pull ahead. And it just, the Eagles ended up getting the ball last. They had an opportunity to win at the end of the game and came up just a half a yard short at the end of it. There was some questionable play calling towards the end of that game, some would say, they now are playing, the Eagles are playing some pretty good football. The Cowboys obviously playing really good football. The Cowboys a game ahead of the Eagles in the standings at 7-5. The Eagles tied with Washington at 6-6. But like you said, if the Eagles can beat Dallas here on Sunday afternoon, they're in first place. Now, the schedule from that point on, BLG, let's just take a look at the schedule before we get into this game a little bit. The Eagles have some tough opponents remaining. I mean, they have to go into Los Angeles and play the Rams, and then they have to play the Houston Texans at home. They get the Redskins the last game of the season. But you and I have both talked about the fact that this Texans team is maybe not as good as having won 9 in a row, but they've won 9 in a row. I mean, that's... You know, it's you don't do that by accident. I mean, obviously, that's a good football team, and the Rams are the Rams. And so Dallas has a much easier schedule over the last part of their season. So even beating Dallas, it gives the Eagles a great opportunity, but they still have a tough road ahead of them here over the last month of the season.
Yeah, so basically the Eagles have to beat Dallas, and then from those final three games for both teams, the Eagles have to at least have the same record as the Cowboys do. You know, like, so if the Cowboys win 2, the Eagles need to win at least 2, because their overall record has to obviously be at least tied. So then that divisional tiebreaker comes into play, which the Eagles will have if they beat Dallas, and obviously they beat Washington too, which is important. So
which are they better?
Especially at this point, you know, they're down to Mark Sanchez. You would very much hope. So it's not going to be easy. I will say that The Cowboys playoff, or the Cowboys schedule in those final three games, might be a little bit harder than it looks like on paper, because they're going to play in Indianapolis. I mean, we'll see how the Colts respond this week. They obviously just got shut out, which isn't great for them and Frank Reich. But we'll see how they respond this week, and we'll see how that goes. And, you know, maybe the Cowboys find a way to lose there in Indianapolis. Then they will be hosting the Buccaneers, who... you know, they had a good game. They beat the Panthers. Do I think they're going to beat Dallas? No, but I'm saying, like, who knows? You know, maybe they can suddenly have a big game. And then the Giants. They play the Giants, who, again, I don't think the Giants are actually good, but they're not as bad as they were earlier this season. They're improved. They're showing some signs of life there. Leave it to Pat Shurmur to coach up a win in a very meaningless game that will only hurt his team's draft position. So I'm not going to say it's impossible that they could. I think they lose at least one of those three games. I think we can probably agree on that. And maybe two. I don't know. And if it is two, then that would be great, because all the Eagles would need to do is beat Washington at that point, and they would be in. They wouldn't even need to beat LA and Houston. And I think the Houston game is winnable for the Eagles, just because
at home.
Yeah, you're at home. You know, the Texans they've won none in a row, so I'm not saying they're bad, but I don't think they're like. I just don't think they're on pace with the Chiefs or the Rams or the Saints. Like, I think they're below that tier of team. Maybe I'm sleeping on them. Maybe we'll see. And then the Rams game. I mean, I'm not going to say it's likely the Eagles win there, but I think the Eagles have a better chance of winning that game than I would say they would have winning in New Orleans against the Saints, just because, you know, much tougher place to play in the Superdome. And I just think the Saints are better than the Rams overall. So there's certainly the path there. And obviously we've talked about how the wild card, the Eagles' chances there have improved, although it's still unlikely. You know, you look at the projections, they're up to like 6%, 7%. And honestly, like, that shouldn't be the focus. Like, I don't want to think about the wild card. Like, why am I thinking about that? Like, that's a last ditch effort. It's kind of like, obviously I want them to make the playoffs if they can. It's going to be hard to get fired up about making the wild card when, like, you consider this team has what? They've won road win this year, like, and against the Giants, and I'm not counting the Jaguars game, you know, because that's like a neutral field. So not the most exciting proposition at that point. It all comes down, again, to this game on Sunday. The ESPN released a playoff leverage index. I don't know if you saw it, John, but this is from Brian Burke. Like, the leverage for this game against the Cowboys is 47%. So, like, the Eagles playoff, man. Yeah, it's huge. It's the season. It is the season here. That is a huge swing if the Eagles win this game. Yeah. So they have to do it. And
this is must win, BLT.
It's must win.
We've said it a lot of times this year. This is must win.
It is. Like, it's not impossible. Like, I mean, you know, mathematically, if the Eagles lose this game to the Cowboys could lose out and the Eagles could win out and win. But, like, come on. It's not. You know, we're not going to see that happen. Yeah. Or, again, they could sneak in as a wild card. But, like, they need a lot of things to go right. They need the Vikings to drop some games here. And they need the Panthers to drop some games. Not impossible, but just, again, not really likely. So.
Seahawks. Yeah.
Speaking
they got some
of,
help last week. Yeah, go ahead.
If they
yeah.
do make the playoffs. And are getting ahead of ourselves a little bit here. That's probably who they would play in the first round. Seattle still has to play Cardinals and the 49ers. I think they're going to be locked in at that 5 seed. So even if the Eagles do make the playoffs and they're the 4 seed, they're going to have to host Seattle. So we'll worry about that down the road, but I'm just saying something to think about.
Yeah, that's hosting Russell Wilson in a do-or-die playoff game is not exactly something I relish either, but we'll jump off that bridge when we get there. But as we're looking ahead at this Eagles game, we had a little bit of bulletin board trash talking going on this week, BLG, before we get into the injury report. This is some serious stuff. Guys, Buddy Ryan and Jimmy Johnson, this ain't, all right? This is Kamu Grugier-Hill trash-talking the Cowboys earlier this week by saying, "The Cowboys always choke, and they'll choke again this week," which was followed up by Dak Prescott quoting his coach, Jason Garrett, saying, I don't have the exact quote in front of me, BLG, but it's something along the lines of, winners concentrate on winning, losers concentrate on people
on
who
winners.
Are winning. Yeah.
Winners worry about winning, and losers worry about winners.
There you go. I mean, Dak. I mean, they have won. First of all, they have one more win than the Eagles do this year. So let's not pretend that Dallas is up here running for a 12-4 record. And remind me, BLG, who won the Super Bowl last year?
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you're looking for some wisdom, you know, you just have to go to Jason Garrett, who, you know, has won a ton of big games in his coaching career. I mean, he definitely knows more about winning, you know, than a player from the team that won the Super Bowl earlier this year did. So definitely good job there. Oh, by the way, kind of wondering then if, you know, Dak is talking about, you know, winners worry about winning. I mean, I don't know then if he was worried about winning last year when he guaranteed the Cowboys would win the NFC East because they didn't win the NFC East last year. So I don't know if he was worried about winning then. Maybe he wasn't. I mean, clearly he wasn't. So.
I mean, this is all just nonsense anyway. This is, I mean, no one plays better because someone mentions a quote, you know, challenge. There's no such thing as bulletin board material, at least as far as I'm concerned. You know, when these guys get on the field, they're not going to be thinking about Kamu Bruje Hill's comments. I mean, this rivalry has lost the heat. There's no doubt about it. I mean, I was watching some of the team highlights from the late 80s and early 90s this week, just killing some time here and there. And when you get to those Cowboys games, those games in the season when you had Buddy going up against Landry and then Jimmy Johnson, and then, you know, once they got Aikman and Irvin and Smith, and there were so many players to root against on that team when they played the Steelers in the Super Bowl, and you're just rooting for someone to knock Barry Switzer off of his high horse. You know, there's just none of that. There's when you look at Jason Garrett, you don't see a coach that you want to hate. You see a buffoon. And when you look at most of the players on that team, at least on offense, Ezekiel Elliott, I think, is a guy we can all grow to really loathe. But, you know, is Dak good enough to hate? You know, I mean, it's just, and the players that they have on defense, they've got a very good defense, but there's really not a household name there just as of yet. So maybe that changes after this year, but this rivalry's lost a lot of heat. And if Kamu Grugé Hill and Dak Prescott quoting Jason Garrett is what we get for heat nowadays in this rivalry, I weep. I weep for our future, BLG.
Yeah, it's not. It just hasn't been the same. I think we've said that for a while now. Just there haven't been a lot of good Eagles Cowboys games, like in terms of meaningful too. I mean, you look back at 2013 when they were playing in Week 17, and you know, is that the most meaningful game they've had probably in a while? And Kyle Orton was starting that game for the Cowboys, not exactly the most, you know, intense kind of matchup there. So in recent years, you know, you've had these games like, you know, obviously the past two seasons where it's Week 17 and 2016, the Eagles have everything, or no, the Cowboys have everything locked up and they're going to the playoffs as the one seed last year, opposite scenario. So that kind of takes some of the heat out of it, if you will. And then even the game in Dallas last year, the Eagles played, they blew out the Cowboys. First half was close, but, you know, then they just put their foot on the gas and never really looked back. So they're kind of just lacking those signature games. You had a good one in 2016 where the Eagles and Cowboys played, you know, Dak and Carson were rookies. Mm-hmm. The game went to overtime. It was a really good game. Yeah. I think the Eagles outplayed them arguably for most of that game. Obviously didn't win, unfortunately. So,
And the game a few weeks ago wasn't necessarily a well played game, but it was a tight contest.
It was close, but it wasn't a good game though. Like, no. I think the Cowboys were pretty much in control for most of the way, and really just the Eagles were beating themselves. It wasn't even like the Cowboys were just straight up dominating them. It was just like the Eagles cannot get out of their way at all, and it's weird because for whatever reason the Eagles just have not played well overall against the Cowboys. Yeah, at the link at home, where you think they would, you know, home field and advantage and all. They've played better in Dallas for some reason. They are 6-2 at AT&T Stadium since 2010. The two losses have been the one that we talked about already in overtime, again, in a game where I felt like they played better than the Cowboys in that loss. So, you know, that's one loss that they had where I arguably played better. And then the other one was in 2012. I believe Nick Foles was starting. And obviously they only won 4 games that year. They were terrible. So point being, you know, they usually play well down there in Dallas. I think there's something to that about, you know, going up against this rival and your backs being against the wall. And hopefully we see that on Sunday. And especially because now, look, I don't really think Kamu's comments matter a ton. I think they're getting a lot of attention this week because there is nothing else going on. Like, what else would we be talking about right now if Kamu didn't say this? So thank you, Kamu, for doing that. I appreciate it. They're going to have no outcome in the week's game, though. You said it, John.
No.
It's not going to be like, oh, the Cowboys got, oh, you know, Kamu's comments really like fired them up and they were extra motivated to win. I mean, no, it's like, it's a huge game. There's no added bulletin board material to me. Now, I will say that obviously it'll suck if the Eagles lose because that's going to be shoved in everyone's face. The fact that,
right,
especially if they lose in like a fashion where they have a lead and they choke it away at the end, that'll make it worse. But let's be real. Like, if they were losing anyway, it was still going to suck. Like, it's not going to really feel like a billion times worse because Kamu said that. Maybe it's a little worse. I just don't think it's significant. Yeah. And then on the flip side, if the Eagles do win and the Cowboys do choke this game away and the NFC East away and the NFC East lead away, then it's kind of funny, right? It's kind of like, hey, yeah, Kamu was right. And
he was right.
And why would you doubt the man who, you know, Kamu caught a lot of flack last year when he was one of the two guys, it was him and Steve Means, who dumped the Gatorade on Doug Peterson after week one. Everyone was like, what are you doing? It's week one. Why are you doing that? And he ended up being, you know, prescient in a way. And he was then in February 4th dumping Gatorade on Doug Peterson after a Super Bowl win. So I don't know. Maybe Kamu knew something that we don't, but I'm certainly not going to kill him for it. If you don't like it, I get it, but I just don't really think it matters in the end. I don't think, you know, there's no bearing. It just doesn't matter.
No, doesn't matter at all. It's all just a little bit of something to talk about, because like you said, there's just not much juice going on right now with this game off the field, other than just the anticipation of these two teams pretty much knowing that the division is on the line here when they play on Sunday afternoon. So let's take a look at the injury report. Obviously, BLG, the Eagles are on a short week, having played on Monday night. And so there were a number of players who did not practice on Thursday, including Timmy Jernigan, Jalen Mills, Avante Maddox, Jordan Hicks, and Michael Bennett all did not participate in practice. Josh Adams was out there. Looks like he's going to be fine. But Jason Peters was at practice but did not participate. So you've got a lot of guys on the defensive side of the ball who, again, just would love to see this defense, even as it's constituted now with this roster, get everybody back and healthy. But I guess the question is, how much of this lack of participation in practice is due to the fact that this is a short week and it's late in the season and you basically just want to get everybody healthy enough to play on Sunday? And how many of these guys do you think were actually worried about not suiting up on Sunday?
Yeah, I think you just hit the nail on the head there, John, when it's just about getting these guys to Sunday. I mean, it's a short week for the Eagles. They played on Monday, really at a rest disadvantage, given that the Cowboys played last Thursday. You know, so they're not only is it, you know, that's not like just the Cowboys played on Sunday and the Eagles are in the short week. It's like, no, also the Cowboys, you know, have had a chance to rest. Although that really didn't matter last time these two teams played because it was the Eagles who were coming off the bye.
On the bye,
and
yeah.
And the Cowboys were coming off a bad Monday Night Football loss at home, so they had the short week and it didn't really show in the game.
That's a good point. Yeah, let's bring it full circle though, BLG.
it could return the favor. So, but maybe there's something to that again, like the whole back up against your wall thing where you're kind of like, okay, you know, we're on this short week. Like, we better not slip up. Like, there's not a lot of room for error here. So, I don't know. Maybe there's something to that. But I think when you look at this injury report, that's clearly the case. It's kind of hard to get a read, really. It's good that Josh Adams is full go. That's a good thing. Obviously they didn't have a full practice on Wednesday. It was just that estimated injury report because they're kind of resting the guys, which is the right call to me. I mean, you don't need to be practicing hardcore, I think, by week 14, you know, just get these guys healthy and ready to play for your biggest game of the season. It sounds like based on what Doug Peterson had to say on Tuesday, Jalen Mills is the only player who doesn't sound like he has a real chance to play this week. He's still in that, I think, that walking boot. He's that foot injury. Doug did say he expects Timmy Jernigan to play and Jason Peters. I feel more confident about Peters just because, you know, he's probably going to tough it out. Jernigan, a little concerned just because of the back thing. Like, that whole thing scares me. Like, back stuff, I just don't know. But Doug did say he expects him, so we'll see. And then Avante Maddox had said on last Saturday before the Washington game that he hopes to play this week. So that seemed like an encouraging sign. Doug Peterson called him day to day, so we'll see if he's back. And then Michael Bennett was listed as limited actually on Wednesday in the estimated injury report, which is kind of weird because then he was downgraded to did not practice, but he barely practiced last week and he played, so I think he should be fine. And then Jordan Hicks, who I was surprised that Doug Peterson kind of said he was day to day and had a chance this week, so we'll see if he can go. Obviously, Friday's injury report will be the third and final one, which will tell us a little bit more about if these guys can go. Friday's usually a light practice, so, you know, if guys are not practicing, might not be the best sign, but I don't know. maybe the Eagles are being a little coy with this too, especially with it being a big game. Maybe they're kind of doing a little bit of gamesmanship here in addition to the short week and kind of just keeping things a little bit more nebulous and vague than they would. So we'll see how that goes. But really need some of these guys, because especially in the trenches, because you're looking at, you know, how important that is to this team. And why the Eagles have been playing a little bit better offensively is because the offensive line is stepping up. I mean, they didn't allow Carson Wentz to get sacked on Monday night. That's awesome. He only got hit four times. That's great. Keep it up. They're opening holes in the running game as well. So that's great to see. And defensively, they've been able to pressure the quarterback. Again, great to see. And, you know, to have Timmy Jernigan back, who the Eagles clearly didn't have when they played the Cowboys earlier this year, in week 10, I mean, to have him back and to kind of fill out this defense when you're going up against a team that is going to run the ball, I mean, it would be sure be nice to get a little bit stout, more stout in the middle there, going up against, again, this team that wants to run the ball often and control the clock. And when you're the team that just gave up a career franchise record breaking touchdown run to a 33-year-old Adrian Peterson, you could sure use improved run defense this week. So hopefully the Eagles get those guys healthy. It would be great to see, great to have them. So that's the hope.
Yeah. It's interesting how the run defense really has faltered. It was really good early in the season, but it has, I mean, aside from that big run by Peterson, though, they did a decent job against the Redskins running backs. But again, Colt McCoy leaves the game and Mark Sanchez comes in, you pretty much know that you can lock some certain things down. As we're looking here to Sunday afternoon, let's look at some matchups here, BLG. And I guess the big question to ask ourselves is whether or not we feel the offense is back. They've scored 25 or more points, two straight games now after having only done it once during the 10 games before that. So you've got an Eagles offense right now that seems to be finding an identity. They seem to have discovered some balance. You know, we see them committing to the running game a little bit more, really even forcing the issue at times, which is fine because it seems to be playing dividends with play action, and the offensive line seems to like not having to pass protect every single down. So and you're now, you know, using one guy as your main running back in Josh Adams, who's running hard, running well. Carson Wentz is last week used, I think he threw a pass to 8 or 9 different receivers. I mean, when he's using everybody in the offense, that's how the offense looked last week, BLG, is how it looked in 2017. That's the first time I saw the 2017 Eagles in the 2018 version. So do you think the offense is hitting their stride now? Are they finding their identity?
They're getting closer for sure. I don't think they're fully there. I mean, especially, you know, it's frustrating to see some of the plays left on the field against Washington. The interception was really bad that Carson had in the red zone there. And just the screen at Nelson Agholor, he might have been open for a touchdown. I mean, he's blocking, he was wide open. It's kind of just Carson missed him. So I don't think that's like a panic point there. I think he's going to be able to hit Nelson Agholor more often than not. And as Kiston Solak had pointed out, you've seen some more wrinkles in this offense. So that's good to see some more different looks that we're seeing here now down the stretch. Nice to see. And very nice to see. How about something we talked about last week, John? Golden Tate getting incorporated into the offense naturally.
Go.
Like not in a way where it's like, all right, we're going to run this play to Golden Tate. And it doesn't work because it's really predictable and it's kind of just too forced. Putting him in situations where he's kind of just like an option and a progression through the offense. And we finally saw him be able to use that yards after the catch ability like he had on that out route there where Carson hits him and he turns the corner. He's so good at doing that. If you look at his highlights, you see so many plays where, you know, he's running an out route. And he did against Dallas earlier this year when he had an out route against them. He broke a tackle. He stared Jeff Heath down and like, you know, totally like shook him out of his shoes and made him look like a fool and ran into the end zone. So, I mean, it'd be great to see if he could do that again this week against this tough Dallas defense. And that'll be the test, right? I mean, is this Eagles offense back? We will have the answer to that on Sunday when you're facing a Dallas defense that ranks 7th overall in DVOA. They are at 3.7 opponent yards per rush attempt, which is the 2nd best in the NFL. They're not allowing teams to run on them. And then they are at 6.9 yards per pass attempt, which is 11th. So a little bit more vulnerable against the pass, but still pretty good overall. Now, I will say that Josh Adams did have 7 attempts for 47 yards, which is a 6.7 yards per carry clip against Dallas in week 10. Small sample size there with 7 attempts, but it was working. So
he ran well.
He ran well, yeah. And he's been running well recently. He looks like a legitimate player, right? I mean, I'm not saying he's a superstar, but he looks like a guy who belongs at the very least. He can get to the edge there. And that is like so refreshing to see, because we're just not seeing that earlier this season. You know, Wendell Smallwood does not have that kind of, he's not threatening in any way. There's no reason to fear him. He can get sometimes what's blocked for him there, but it's just, he's not going to get anything more. And then Corey Clement, who has been proving, I still think it's a little disappointing in the way where he's getting into these situations where, you know, he only has one guy to miss. And I think I was talking to you about this last week, John, where I had said I'd watched that video with Deuce Staley. And he kind of said, like, look, Corey, we can get you to here. Like, that's our job. Like, we got to get you to this point, but you got to get us into the end zone, or you got to get us, you know, past this one defender. And he hasn't been able to do that, which is a little disappointing, but he's still playing better overall, which is encouraging. So there are encouraging signs here with the offense. They're certainly showing signs of improvement. They're showing signs of life. The offensive line is something you can really hang your hat on. That's something earlier this season that we were talking about. It's like, what makes you feel good about this team? And it's almost nothing at that point. The offensive line, if they're playing well, makes me feel pretty good, because that's how they won the Super Bowl. They dominated in the trenches. So hopefully we continue to see that this week. That'll be the big test. Carson's going to have a huge game. And that's something that, going away from Monday night's performance, was one of my takeaways. Like, this is a good enough Carson Wentz performance to beat Washington when they're playing with Mark Sanchez. But this is probably not a good enough Carson Wentz performance to go into Dallas next week. Like, he needs to play better. I know the stats were good, and he did a lot of good things, and I'm probably being too harsh on him because I have high expectations, but that's where it should be. I mean, this is the kind of player where we are hoping Carson Wentz is, a guy who shows up big, not just an average player, a really good player. So he needs to have a big game this week. I think he has it in him. He's capable of doing it. It's just a matter of going out there and executing.
Yeah, we saw him use his legs a lot more against Washington, which people had been talking a lot about. And I wonder if he was hearing that and decided to more consciously make that a part of his game on Monday night, because it wasn't even just scrambling and gaining yards as a rusher. It was making things happen behind the line of scrimmage, buying time for his receivers downfield. The touchdown pass to Golden Tate in the first quarter on the first drive was because he was able to buy some time with his legs in the backfield. And that's also probably one of the reasons why he didn't get sacked last week, is he was able to escape a little bit, show a little bit more movement back there in the pocket. And we had been thinking, well, he probably still isn't 100%. There was, of course, that report that came out shortly before the Giants game a couple weeks ago. And I think that was probably true, that he isn't 100%. He's got that brace on his knee. And we know that Carson is a pretty good quarterback throwing the football. He's pretty accurate, but he's not the most accurate guy in the world. What makes him special is the ability to throw the ball in some tight windows and to be a reasonably accurate quarterback, but also to couple that with an ability to make plays. And I don't think it's fair to expect him to be 2017 Carson Wentz in that regard, because he is coming off of a couple of major knee injuries. He had surgery not too long ago. He's still within the window where you're recovering from that injury. But now maybe we're going to start to see a little bit more of that escapability here over the last month of the season. Maybe now he's starting to feel a little bit more comfortable in the pocket and starting to feel that rush a little bit better, knowing where the escape routes are so that he can buy some time for his receivers. If that's the Carson Wentz we see, that's the MVP level Carson Wentz. The reason the expectations are so high is because we've seen Carson Wentz play at an MVP level. We haven't seen that this year, and I don't think any of us should have expected to see that this year, given the fact he was coming off of that injury and that he was still recovering from it. But this is a game, like you say, I 100% agree with you, BLG. We need to see MVP Carson Wentz in this game.
And hopefully we do. And I will mention, since you're talking about the injury here, I believe it is the 10th of December last year when very sadly and tragically, Carson Wentz did get hurt. So it's going to be about a year almost on Sunday from when he had that injury. It's not like I'm saying there's like a light switch here and it's like, all right, it's a year. You just flip it back on.
Right.
But still, I mean, you're getting closer to that point, which is good to see. And you're hoping that the mobility that you did see against Washington, as you mentioned, is something that they can kind of continue to utilize. Not just about, you know, having him run and scramble and do crazy things like that, but just getting him out on the move, you know, like they did on that throw to
designed rollouts and stuff like that.
Throw to Nelson Aguilar, that 39-yard gain. Like that was awesome to have him out there and to just sling it down the field. Like that's something he can do and that's dangerous. Or even when he did with Golden Tate there early in the game where he buys some time, he floats up that pass, and it's a huge play to get the ball there to him. So he's capable of doing it. And, you know, hopefully we can see some of that here. Again, it's a spot where he has to deliver. You know, for as much as we've talked about him, you know, being clutch or whatever and all that stuff this year, I mean, this is the spot where he needs to come up big for this team. Like, this is where the best quarterbacks step up in the spot. And if he does play well, that changes some of the calculus for this team. Like, going down the stretch, that makes you excited. The fact, if they can beat the Cowboys in Dallas and Carson Wentz is playing very well, you're like, okay, we're not only like, are we actually like mathematically alive and like technically alive? No, we're legitimately alive. Like, we can, if he's playing well and they beat Dallas, and you're like, okay, yeah, we have these final three games and they're not the toughest or they're not the easiest on paper, but we could probably win at least two of these at that point, whether that's, you know, the Rams game or the Texans game, and probably that Washington game. And at that point, again, we talked about the Cowboys schedule down the stretch. I think they lose at least one. So if the Eagles can get to those two wins, that could be it. And then you're in the East and, you know, again, you might be playing Seattle, not the easiest thing, but you're at home. And if you have a Carson Wentz playing well, I mean, I'm not saying it's Super Bowl repeat that easily, right. But like, you have a fighting chance.
You give yourself a chance.
You have that fighting chance.
Exactly.
So hopefully that's what we see.
Yeah. And I think getting some help from the run game helps too. And that helps with rollouts. You know, you can do some play action where you get everybody going to the left side and roll Carson out to the right and try and get some matchups that way. And yeah, give Carson the option to run if he needs to and get him into some space. The run game being productive helps so much. And I don't think anybody wants this to be a 50-50 split. That's just not the way the NFL is anymore. But having Josh Adams back there as a guy who defenses do have to be concerned about. I mean, these Dallas linebackers are amazing. Leighton Vander Esch is fantastic. Jalen Smith is fantastic. Sean Lee's a good player. Damian Wilson's a good player. These are guys that are not going to easily get fooled. In the game a few weeks ago at Lincoln Financial Field, they just had Dallas defenders swarming to the ball every single time an Eagles player had it, because I don't think they were confused by anything. They weren't fooled by anything. The linebackers didn't have to worry about the running game at all. So they were just keying on screen passes. And we saw last week with a good running game, defenses don't know exactly what to expect. They can't key in on any one thing. So that opens up the screen game. It opens up the play action. And, you know, frankly, it opens up the run game. I mean, when you can run the football and you've got a good offensive line that can do that, you can eat up clock. You can churn out yards. You can use a running. You can run the ball on third and two, and you can reasonably have more expectations. You're going to convert fourth and short. So it just I give Mike Groh and Doug Peterson credit these last 2 weeks. We gave Groh a real hard time with his comments regarding Golden Tate, and they were well-deserved. Credit those two guys for having good game plans these last couple of weeks and for being able to utilize the run game and figuring out what to do with Josh Adams, you know, to actually use him and recognize the fact that, hey, we might have a productive running back on our hands here.
Yeah, he's the hot hand, and they have been. And now flipping it to the other side of the ball, just to talk about the Cowboys offense for a little bit. I mean, they're not exactly a juggernaut. Obviously, you know, having Ezekiel Elliott helps their run game tremendously. He's a very good player. Other than off the field stuff, you know, as a football player, it's hard to say a lot bad about Zeke. I mean, he can really do it all. He's been really valuable for them recently as just like a check down option, a guy who Dak can go down to and, you know, easy completion. And he's very hard to tackle. He's just that's a huge thing with him. You just see him, you know, churning those legs and, you know, getting
tacklers fall
yeah.
off him.
And
man.
He always falls forward. Like, he's never getting like stuffed or falling, but he's always falling forward. So even in a play where like you'll have it defended pretty well, and it should probably be a tackle for loss, he'll find a way to get like, you know, 2 yards out of it, a 2 yard gain, which is, it adds up. It makes it easier. Like that's why I'm not a big Dak guy. Is because I think people don't understand how easy like life is made on him by having Zeke. Like, if you gave Carson Wentz Zeke, I think we'd see a very much different Carson Wentz, even better this year and forever if he had that kind of reliable running back talent for him. So that's going to be a big challenge for this defense. And honestly, I mean, I'm concerned because this Eagles defense has allowed big runs. I mean, not just big running plays like we saw with Adrian Peterson. I mean, overall, the defense stepped up for most of that game, that run aside, which you can't just take away because it did happen. But in recent weeks, you know, we've talked about it. Like they allowed Barkley to go off for a lot. Even Wayne Gallman had a decent average. What's the other game that I can't think of? Zeke went off. The Saints, Kamara and Mark Ingram went off. Like they've been a very leaky run defense. So it's an issue and I'm concerned about it. I hope, you know, the Eagles focus in on it because like it shouldn't be to a point where, you know, you're scared of Dak. Like, let me rephrase that. So the Eagles should be putting themselves in a spot where they should be challenging Dak to beat them, right? Like, you want him to beat. If you're going to get beaten, you want to have it in a way where he just makes some throws, because that's probably not going to happen as reliably as it is if, you know, you can't go into this game saying, hey, let's make Ezekiel Elliott beat us, because he is going to beat you. He already did. You have to stop the run. I just think that's so critical against this Cowboys team. And it's not a secret. It's like, what they do isn't, you know, it's there's nothing complex about it. They have their formula. It's simple to stop. It's just in theory, it's just not, you know, the execution of it isn't very easy. So I will say about this Eagles defense that they've shown some dominance recently. I mean, in their the last two halves of these games here, I had the number here and now I lost it, but I don't know where it is. They've allowed only 3 points and I think something like 64 yards and 49 plays. It's around there. Like, that's pretty good. Like, granted, they've played Eli Manning and Mark Sanchez, so that clearly helps a ton. But still, I mean, for an Eagles defense that's been missing, I mean, last week, obviously, five of their top five cornerbacks and a bunch of other injuries, that's still, you know, I have enough hope in this defense that they can keep this game respectable, and especially into Cowboys offense that isn't exactly a total juggernaut. Now, that's not to say they're going to, you know, shut them out or be perfect here, but I just think they can keep it manageable. It's so at that point, it's going to be up to the offense to really step up. And that's why it is so critical for Carson Wentz to have this big game. But it's not like I think the defense is going to, you know, bleed like 40 points in this game. Like, they're going to keep the game within reach. It's just a matter of, you know, can the offense really, you know, step up here and, you know, maybe defense come up with some big plays for once. They still rank second to last in the NFL in takeaways this year, and they need to get some in this game. And the opportunity will be there for them because Dak Prescott is the most sacked quarterback in the league this year. So they're going to be able to get to him. They have to strip sack him. And he's put the ball on the ground. We all talk about how Carson Wentz fumbles. Dak has more than Carson this year. And he's had some very fortunate fumble luck. Like we saw against the Saints, the ball just like bounces right back to him. He obviously had the other one where he turned the ball over at the end of the game and almost gave the game away. And the Eagles are going to need to capitalize on that. They're going to have to strip sack him and get the ball and, you know, set the offense up in some good field position here, because if they can get, and that's another reason why stopping the run is so key, because if they can stop the run, Cowboys are going to have to pass. They're going to have to drop back more. And Dak is getting sacked already the most in the league. I mean, if you're going to have him drop back, they're going to have opportunities to get to him. So they're going to have to get to him. They're going to have to knock that ball out. And that's what it's going to have to be. The formula is simple. It's just challenging to execute, and that's what it's going to have to be. It's not a game where you were saying, John, like it's not. There's no trick here. Like, you know, these two teams, they played each other. They already know what they're going to do. It's not about out scheming each other for the most part. It's just about executing, and they just have to do it.
Yeah, Carson Wentz said that today during his news conference, and that the difference between losing and winning a few weeks ago was execution, that they even, like you said, last week they left some plays on the field, and that was mostly due to execution. That's going to be the main thing. The old saying is the best offense is a good defense. In this case, I think the best defense is a good offense. You know, by getting out to an early lead, as we've talked about, you do let your defenders gear up to not have to worry about the run game as much, and that you can focus on trying to make Dak beat you, because, you know, these cornerbacks, they are getting some guys back. I mean, you don't, it's not all consisting of people off the street now. I mean, some of the guys who actually made the team out of training camp will actually be playing in the secondary this this weekend again. So that's encouraging. It's nice to see that this team is actually maybe starting to get a little bit healthier as we get deeper into the season here. But yeah, I mean, and Amari Cooper has been a big addition for this team too. He has continued to play well since being acquired by the Cowboys. And this is a trade we mocked because giving up a first round pick for Amari Cooper still probably on paper doesn't sound like it was all that smart, but he seems to have really helped out Dak. You know, he seems to have given Dak a real bona fide target to throw the ball to. So this isn't to say that Dak can't make some plays against the Eagles, because he can. He is good running with the football, but how much of a help has Amari Cooper been to Dak Prescott, at least being not brutal at quarterback? He's been, let's be honest, during this winning streak, he's been good. I think Dak Prescott during this 4-game winning streak has been good. He's made some plays. He's made good throws. I think he's playing with more confidence now. I don't think Dak Prescott is a good quarterback, but over this last month, I think he's played good.
Yeah, I mean, I think the pressure has been off of him, just in the sense of they've been able to establish the run and everything, you know, is going well for him in the flow of the offense. Getting Cooper clearly has helped. I still don't think the trade is, like, definitively worth it, because
No.
You're giving up a first-round pick. I still don't think they're a legitimate Super Bowl contender, although they did beat the Saints. You know, give them some credit there. But, you know, they scored 13 points still. and Cooper had a big fumble in that game. Not to say that just instantly, you know, makes the trade, you know, not worth it for them. But to get into that a little bit more, just I think it's still not the most efficient use of resources, because I know he's young, but you're still going to have to pay him that money. And if you have that first-round pick, you know, they still have to pay a lot of guys. But just putting that aside for a second, because we're talking about this week's game. You know, yes, he is playing better. And I've always said, the thing that I will give Dak credit for, which very much concerns me about him, is really not his ability as a passer so much, but his ability as a runner. And Jim Schwartz highlighted this in his press conference this week. And Dak has had some really big runs in these games where, you know, they're backed up 3rd and 14, 3rd and 9, you know, in these key situations. And he's back there. And, you know, no one's really open, but he takes off and they can't bring him down. And Dak is hard to tackle, too. You know, for as much as Zeke is hard to tackle, Dak he's stout. He's not easily tackleable. So that's another thing they'll have to watch out. And it's hard to account for, because you're trying to cover all these guys and try to make sure, you know, you have your assignment. And on top of that, then you have to worry about the quarterback taking off and running. And Dak has been really good at that in recent weeks, which makes this Cowboys offense dangerous. I think especially in the red zone is an area where that's always concerning to me.
Yeah,
because
big time.
You're trying to like account for every guy, and all of a sudden you forget about Dak and he's just running in for an easy touchdown. So that's a big concern for me, for sure. Especially, you know, like to have that run game going with Zeke, and then you have to worry about the run game, the quarterback. It's tough. So that's definitely going to be a big factor this week. I go back to what I said earlier. It's just, I don't think he's going to, you know, Dak doesn't put the team on his back. Like, that's not what he's going to do. He's not going to just, it's not like the Cowboys are going to be failing all around them, and Dak is just going to be like, you know what, guys, I'm just going to take over. I got this. Like, don't worry about it. Like, that's just not the kind of quarterback he is. And I mean, that's fine. It works for the Cowboys with their formula, but ultimately I think it limits them. It limits their ceiling, which is why we want Dak Prescott to stay in Dallas ultimately, because I don't think that formula ultimately bears out with a championship, or at least not most of the time. So that is the ceiling on him, but he obviously can provide some value to this offense, and it's going to be tough. The Eagles are going to have to stay disciplined. They're going to have to make sure to account for him in the running game, and they're going to have to pop the ball out and get some big hits on him too. I think I was saying this back in week 10, like, if he's going to take off with the ball, make him pay for it. Like, don't, you know, obviously I'm not saying, like, you know, hit him, play dirty and hit him after the whistle. I'm saying within the confines of the game, like, if he's taking off running, like, I would just love to see, like, Fletcher Cox just blindside him from behind. Like, again, legally, not trying to hurt him or his career. I'm just saying, like if he's going to take off running, then make him pay for it and make him think twice about doing it and make him hurt for doing it. So hope to see that this week as well.
Yeah, you don't just generally in football see big hits anymore either. But it's just they've been litigated out of the game, and that seems to be something that Kind of doesn't get talked about a whole lot, but that's one of the reasons why maybe turnovers are down a little bit for the Eagles this year. They're just not getting – I can't remember the last really big hit an Eagles player has – defender has laid on an offensive player this season. I really can't think of one. And the
Michael Bennett
second,
when he took down Kirk Cousins.
Yeah. I guess that's
no,
it
was just
probably
a joke.
The – I was like trying to remember. I was like, am I missing one?
The one, yeah, the one he got flagged for.
When he got flagged
joke.
For?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I figured. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, it's Michael Bennett is, as we know, a monster. Okay. NFL matchups for this week. We're going to give you our pick on the Eagles Cowboys game coming up here in just a minute. But first, we'll run down a few of the big games this week. First up, another NFC East contest. The Giants are 3.5 points favorites at Washington. How the mighty Redskins have fallen, BLG. This team was 6-3 a few weeks ago with Alex Smith leading a competent team. Now they're 6-6. They got Mark Sanchez running things. You look at the rest of that roster, and all of a sudden, it just looks like it's devoid of talent. The Redskins could very easily lose out here, BLG. And so you've got the Giants favored by 3.5 on the road. How you feeling about this one? Eli Manning and the Giants favored by 3.5 on the road.
Yeah, I mean, I think they should be. I mean, Washington is at a point where starting Mark Sanchez, man, like I can't pick them to win. And it's really unfortunate for Washington. I mean, hard to feel bad for that organization in many ways. But just from an objective standpoint, like they were the number one injured team last year in terms of adjusted games lost by Football Outsiders. So you figured they would get some positive regression in that area. That's something we talked about on this podcast earlier in the season, why we thought they would be the number two team in the NFC East. And had they stayed healthy, I don't think that would have been so crazy. And they might have even won the division if
they
stayed
number
healthy.
One. Yeah.
So, but yeah, very, so it's very, just they've had a lot of bad luck, if we're being honest, to be down to your third string quarterback like this. It sucks for them for sure. But you know, I think the Giants have been playing a little bit better. They've won what, 3 out of their last 4, if I'm not mistaken here. Mm-hmm. They're playing better football recently. Still not amazing, but Pat Shurmur, again, the master of ruining draft position here. If this season were to end today, the Giants would be picking 7th. And with the Jaguars losing here on Thursday Night Football, I believe, that's important in terms of the draft, because if the Jaguars move ahead of the Giants in the draft order, they are clearly going to be one of those teams that is going to be drafting a quarterback, which could make it tougher for the Giants, which I love. So I would love to see the Giants win. One thing I want to hit on with Washington is, man, like what's going to happen with Alex Smith? Like, you know, there's these reports out there that like his leg is not looking good. Like that situation,
he has an infection or something from the surgery.
Like,
yeah,
man, like he's 34 years old. And if he can't play again, I mean, the Washington just signed him to a huge contract extension.
They can't
like realistically. I don't know how it works. Like, I don't know if there's a special situation here with this kind of injury. I don't know. Because it's just, you know, I don't really know the precedent for that. But just looking at his contract, they can't really get out of it realistically until 2021. Like, they are locked into that thing. It is a very bad contract. I guess I see that they can cut him post June 1 after this postseason. It would be like $20.4 million in dead money. With zero cap savings, so it wouldn't be a loss. They wouldn't take they wouldn't lose cap money by doing that. But man, like they're not in a good situation. And that's just not only for this year, but moving forward. Like, what do they do? I mean, they've already won enough games where even if they lose out, like they're still not going to get probably a good enough draft pick to get the quarterback they want. I mean, someone might fall to them. So, man, that sucks for them, and it's ultimately good for us, as you know, for rooting for the Eagles here, for the Giants to be winning meaningless games down the stretch. So I will take the Giants.
Yeah, I'll take the Giants and take, you know, even though they're giving up 3.5 on the road, I agree. Washington is just falling apart at the seams. So I'll go with New York as well. You got the Rams. This is a great game. The Rams at the Chicago Bears. I believe this is the Sunday night game. The Rams favored by, they are 3-point favorites on the road at Chicago. We know the Bears have a great defense, BLG. They lost a tough game last week, and I don't know. I think that the Rams, I think this is, if they're going to lose another game this year, aside from the Eagles game, I think this could be where they pick up their second loss of the season. I think, you know, going into Chicago is tough, especially in prime time. Chicago is going to be jacked up for this game. This game is, I mean, this is featuring the NFC Central leaders against the NFC West champs. And it's, I like Chicago to get up for this game. I think the Rams will struggle a little bit in the cold weather. I think it's going to be cold up there in Chicago on Sunday night. At least it should be cold in early December in Chicago in a night game. So I think with if the elements are favorable for the Bears, which I believe they will be, and I think the Rams are due for another loss here at some point. I like the Bears not only to take the points. I like the Bears to win that game outright.
Wow. I definitely think it is a worthwhile bet looking into, you know, the Bears getting points at home. Definitely a tempting proposition, but I'll ring the bell here and I will take the Rams. I just think overall still they're a tier above what the Chicago team is. Just I've never really been all in on Trubisky, even though, you know, he's had some moments this year for sure. But he's coming off that injury too. And I don't know exactly where he's at. And I didn't really feel that all that great about him in the first place. So I would kind of like to be wrong about that. I would like to see the Chicago team do well. Just kind of interesting to see how this defense will match up against that offense. Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's a bad bet on your part by any means, but I will take the Rams in this one. I will side with them.
Understandable. The Rams are just really damn awesome, and they might go 15-1 this year. You never know. Last game, Minnesota at Seattle, again, a game with huge NFC wildcard implications. Seattle is a 3-point favorite at home, but we know the home team generally gets 3 points anyway. So really, Vegas is looking at these two teams as being pretty evenly matched. How do you see this one shaking out?
Yeah, so that whole ESPN playoff leverage thing I was talking about earlier, where the Eagles, you know, their playoff odds increased by 47% if they win this game. Well, if the Vikings lose this game, their playoff odds suddenly decrease by 33%, and they're only like just a little bit ahead of the Eagles at that point. So this is a very big game. Eagles fans should be rooting for the Seahawks here. I think it's clear, you know, if you're talking about, you know, for the interest of the wild card picture, because I just think Seattle, again, they still have to play the Cardinals and the 49ers. I think it's kind of a foregone conclusion. They're going to get that 5 seed anyway. So if you're trying to keep hope alive for the wild card, which I don't love, by the way, because, you know, I don't love the idea of trying to root for both like the Eagles winning the division and having the wild card fallback option, because that means essentially that you're rooting for the Cowboys to potentially get into the playoffs as the wild card at that point, if the Eagles do win the division. So that's the angle I don't like to that. But I guess, you know, to me, as far as picking the game goes, I think it's kind of an easy pick. Seattle, standard three-point home favorites here. They're so good at home. Their home record is so good. And I just think they're a very good team. Russell Wilson is playing very well here. And we all know Kirk Cousins, John, and I have to bring up the stats because I did it this week.
Please do.
I wrote about it earlier in the week. Where is he at now? I can't wait to update this and tweet it out at the final end of the season here. But
this is a stat rate against winning teams, how he struggles against winning teams.
So overall, as a starter, he is 32, 35, and 2. So 3 games under 500 there. But his record against teams with 9-plus wins, so teams with winning records, essentially, he is 4-22 in 26 games. Oh. And teams with 8-plus wins, he is 8-25 in those 33 games. So not very good. To me, it never makes sense to bet on Kirk Cousins in a big spot against a big team. Like, that's not the direction I would go in.
No, and I'm coming around on that in games like this for sure. I like Cousins probably more than most, but going into Seattle to beat the Seahawks in a game with these kinds of playoff implications, I'm with you. I think taking Seattle at home, favored by 3, yeah, makes all the sense in the world. So I will agree with you. I will take the Seahawks.
And while
we're
on the topic of the Vikings, John, can we talk a little bit about John DeFilippo? You know, getting some crap really from Zimmer, kind of like about not running the ball enough. Seems like there's kind of some dysfunction there a little bit. Also, the fact that, you know, this Vikings offense hasn't been really amazing, you know, for as much as we, and Kirk Cousins, you know, hasn't been like super, super awesome for as much as we bemoan losing Flip. I'm not saying he's a bad coach all of a sudden, but I just think putting that in perspective. And again, as I mentioned kind of earlier in the show, Frank Reich also getting shut out by the Jaguars. last week. Yeah. So just, I think, something to think about. Not to say that like those guys are suddenly bad coaches, or you know that they're, it's good that they're gone. But I just think, you know, maybe not like the perfect flawless coaches that, you know, we might be making them out to be at times.
Yeah, the brain trust didn't take all of their intelligence that the Eagles had last year with them. I mean, it was a shared effort, and these guys are good coaches. But yeah, you're right. They're not infallible. They're not perfect coaches, and the Eagles actually seem to be picking up some momentum here with their offense as these two guys are having a little bit of struggle. So I think that as we move on to now to kind of give us our picks on the Eagles and the Cowboys game, Dallas is favored by, in some places, 3 points, other places, 4 points. BLG, I'm going to, do you want to take this first, or you want me to go first?
I don't like how you sounded there, so I want you to go first.
I think the Eagles are going to win this football game. I do. I throw a monkey
wrench. That sounded so negative.
But I do. No, I was going to say that, you know, I'm interested in the fact that we do look at this Cowboys team and we see how well they're playing. And you've got to give them all the credit in the world for beating the Saints in New Orleans.
For sure.
It's not something any of us thought that they were going to be able to do. But you and I both talked about it on the preview podcast last week when the game was going on, how we kind of both in the back of our minds felt like the Saints were due for a stinker at some point. And playing in Dallas was a good opportunity for that to happen. The Cowboys have a very good defense. The offense didn't show up in that game, but we have to also remember it was just a month ago that this Cowboys team was dreck. They were terrible. I mean, this wasn't even like a mediocre team. This was a bad football team. And so I don't know if they're going to get back to that. They may have just found their groove and they're going to play well here the rest of the season. But like you said earlier, the Eagles play well in Dallas. Even in losing efforts recently, they've played well in Dallas. For whatever reason, they get up for this game. I think that the Eagles offense is finally starting to get going. The screen game is working. The run game is working. And I do think we're going to see a little bit more from Carson Wentz as far as making plays behind the line of scrimmage. I'm really crossing my fingers and hoping we get an MVP level type performance from Carson, because that's what this team needs. If Carson wants to get this team to the Super Bowl and to the playoffs, the place where he didn't get to go last year, he's got to lead him there. He's got to be the guy to take him there. And I think that he can do it. I think that the Eagles are just kind of hitting their stride now offensively. Hopefully they can get a lead early. I think that's how they win this game, is they get a lead early. They force the Cowboys to be one-dimensional, make Dak beat you throwing the football. So I think the Eagles win this football game. I'd say they win it 27-21.
Ooh, okay, that's pretty decisive. Man, it is. If I'm being honest, I feel like, if I had to rank my confidence in the Eagles winning this game on a scale of 1 to 10, it's about a 4.
It's BLG. About a 4.
And it's not even so much about the Cowboys. You know, I was watching Creed recently, and I was thinking about how...
The first one or the second one?
I'm behind.
Okay. I haven't seen the second one either, so I was curious.
No spoilers here or anything, but just talk, you know, Rocky talking about how, you know, like, your toughest opponent is you. It's the man in the mirror. That's how I felt when I felt the Eagles were going to win the Super Bowl. It wasn't like, it didn't matter who they were playing. Like, it wasn't about beating the Patriots. It was just like, they're the better team. Like, I know they are. Like, it doesn't even matter what the Patriots are. Like, I just know the Eagles are the better team. I felt it to my core. And now with this team, I'm not that strongly convicted that they're going to lose, but I still don't like trust them. Like, and how could you? Like, how could you fully
trust
this team still? And that's what I guess that's where it kind of comes down to for me. So I'm kind of picking with my heart a little bit of my head, I guess, in that sense, because I still have that doubt. I think it's going to be a competitive game either way. I do like the Eagles getting points at 3.5, especially because I think it's going to be at least a 3-point game. I think it's going to be a field goal kind of. So that extra half point, I really like that there. I guess if I'm picking a score here, I'm going to take the Eagles to win in a very close game.
You had me nervous there for a second.
Very close
PLG.
Game. It's very close, but it is a Jake Elliott field goal that makes it 26-24. I was going to say overtime. That obviously is not a score that works out in overtime, but I think, you know, this could be a game that goes to that. I think it's going to be a tough game, man. It's going to be a playoff atmosphere. I think that term gets overused, but it really is. Like, this is it. If the Cowboys win this game, they're going to the playoffs as NFC's champions. Very much, most likely. I think it's like a 97% chance at that point. And if the Eagles win, they still have work to do, but they're in a very reasonable spot. I think they'd be around like 53%. And obviously, if they win this game, you're feeling good about their chances in these final games here. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be tough. I don't have a lot of conviction. I guess here's one thing that I keep coming back to is that, are the Cowboys really going to sweep the Eagles this year? I just, like, that part of me,
yeah,
can't
see, I thought
it.
About
like,
that
I just
too.
Can't see that. Like, I don't think, I know the Eagles, they're not amazing. It's been an uneven year. I just don't think they're that bad, and I don't think the Cowboys are that good. I don't know if that's kind of like a really good enough reason. That's kind of like, you know, you're taking a test and you're picking like C for three answers in a row, and then all of a sudden you get to that fourth one and you're like, well, it can't be C a fourth time, can it? So it's not always the best logic there, but I just, there's something about me that feels like they're not going to get swept. Like, I don't see it. So hopefully I'm right. Hopefully we don't have that bite us back, just like Kamu Grugier-Hill's comments might bite us back a little bit after, mm-hmm, if they do lose. So we'll see.
Well, I think part of it is that Saints game really kind of threw off everybody's thoughts about what this team really is, this Cowboys team is. And was that them just playing their best game of the season and the Saints playing their worst game of the season? Or did we see this Cowboys team as a better team than we thought they were? And I think we'll get some of those answers on Sunday afternoon. We'll get some of those answers about the Eagles on Sunday afternoon, whether or not there's anything left of the 2017 Eagles. If there's anything left of that team in this year's team, we'll see it on Sunday afternoon in Dallas when they get started about 4:25 in the afternoon. And the whole country's going to get this game. So it's probably going to be, you know, there's a few good games on the schedule, but this is certainly going to be one of the marquee games. And hopefully we get another historic Eagles win in this Dallas Eagles rivalry that has stumbled on some hard times here in recent seasons. Just a reminder, gang, to subscribe and leave those ratings and those reviews on Apple Podcasts. Those 5-star ratings, please keep them coming. It's been awesome seeing you guys continue to give us those 5-star ratings and the reviews. We love them all. So helps other Eagles fans find the podcast. Goes a long way to helping us all out. So please continue to do that. And that'll do it for this edition of BGN Radio, episode number 26. For Brandon Lee Gowton, I'm John Stolness. Everybody, enjoy the game on Sunday.
That doesn't make sense.
Hello, I'm Spencer Hall from SB Nation, and I want to tell you about my new show, It Seemed Smart. It Seemed Smart is a show about people doing things that, for some reason or another, seemed smart at the time. Those things might include doing a little cocaine and driving a bike up a mountain. Or, I don't know, maybe racing 100 miles per hour across the country in the middle of the night with no one's permission. Or even stealing a bat from an umpire's room in a Major League Baseball park. Check it out, and if you like it, tell a friend. I'm Spencer Hall. Don't do anything smart.